If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, a word about God's will for our lives. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Solomon writes, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank You so much that You give us guidance and direction, Lord, for every single area of our lives, Lord, through Your Word and through Your Holy Spirit. I pray every one of us who came to this church today would leave this morning knowing exactly what it is, Lord, that You have called us to do, especially in the times that we're living in. I pray You'd come to us now by the power of Your Holy Spirit. I pray You'd open Your Word and teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. I ask all this in Your name. Amen. As you drive and travel around a lot, you see some of the most confusing road signs in the whole wide world. Like that one. It tells you to turn. But where? That sign there says you got to turn left in order to go right. You got to turn right in order to go left. What are you supposed to do? That sign up in the corner. TMI. TMI. Please slow drive lane. What in the world is that supposed to mean? And then finally, my favorite, you got to stop. But you can't turn right, you can't turn left, you can't go straight, and you can't turn around and go back either. So I guess you're just supposed to sit there at that intersection for the rest of your life. Where in the world are you supposed to go? And what's even more confusing sometimes, where are you supposed to go with your life too? Where are the signs telling you where God wants you to go and the direction that God wants you to take? One of the questions people ask me all the time, "Kevin, how do I know God's will for my life?" The text we have in front of us this morning answers that question. We turn this morning to Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. In this part of Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon is telling us we need to seek the Lord like nobody's business. And our text today tells us when we do, God gives us all kinds of wisdom and understanding, including the perfect will He has for every single one of our lives. Our text this morning, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, tells us three things that we need to do in order to know God's will for our lives. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do in order to know God's will for our lives, we need to seek the Lord. And that is exactly what Solomon's telling us here in verses 5 and 6. Because when it comes to your life, God's not just winging it. He's not just flying by the seat of His pants or making it up as He goes along. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, God knows the plans He has for you. Plans to give you a future and a hope and to prosper you. Psalm chapter 139, verses 15 and 16. All the days ordained for you, God already wrote in the book before one of them came to be. So God definitely does have a plan for your life. But in order to know that plan that God has for your life, you've got to know the God that has that plan for your life. You've got to seek the Lord. And God's plan for your life is not rocket science, because 95% of what God wants you to do with your life, He's already given to you right here in the Word. And priority number one on the list is that you know Him through the one whom He has sent, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead to pay the price for our sin and to save your soul, John chapter 6, verse 29. And we do that by confessing our sin to God and putting our faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to cover our sin and asking Jesus to come into our hearts and be our Savior, because your first birth was not good enough to save you. Your first birth just made you a sinner. It's that second birth that makes you a saint. So the number one part of God's will from your life, the absolutely most important number one thing God wants you to do in life, John chapter 3, verse 3, you've got to be born again. Then in all your ways, you acknowledge Him, which means you let God and His Word guide everything about your life. During her last Christmas address to the British people, last December, Queen Elizabeth said this, "Because of my personal Christian faith, I have lived my entire life with the sure and eternal hope of resurrection and new life in Jesus Christ." Don't tell me that woman didn't know and seek the Lord. Then you put God at the center of your life. Last January, Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger retired after 18 years in the NFL. And why? This is what he said. "I'm going to do everything I can to be the best father and husband I can be for my family and try to expand God's kingdom with the gospel." But then last February, Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady retired. But then, less than 6 weeks later, he unretired. And now he's playing his 24th season at the age of 45. But you know what else? As a result of that, his wife Gisele Bündchen has now filed for divorce. Because after 24 years, she is sick and tired of him putting football before his family. Christians, here's God's will. God first, then your family, then your job. But how many of us are following that? Kevin, are you following that? What's God's will for your life? Be faithful to your spouse. Obey your parents. Go to school. Save your money. Don't lie, cheat, steal, shoot up, hook up, or shack up. All kinds of things. Psalm 119, verse 105. God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. You say, Kevin, how do I know God's will for my life? For crying out loud, get off the phone. Don't call a psychic. Don't ask your life coach. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Read the Word of God, because the vast majority of God's will for your life is right here in the Bible. You've got to seek the Lord. But the problem is, too many people today don't seek the Lord any more than the man in the moon. And if you don't seek the God who has the plan for your life has no plan. Bill Nye, the science guy who pushes evolution, says this: we human beings are nothing but a meaningless speck on a speck, orbiting a speck, in the corner of another speck, in the middle of utter specklessness. Gee, have a nice day. See the sign? There is no God. Now go and enjoy your life. No, because if there is no God, you have no life to start with. Only 47% of Americans are still members of a church. Less than 30% of Americans ever go to church on a Sunday morning. Only 20% of the people in this country believe the Bible is really the Word of God. 97% of teenagers have never read one verse of Scripture. Fewer Americans believe in God than in any other time in the history of this country. I could go on and on. America's forgotten God. And what's the result? They teach evolution, they celebrate sodomy, they kill baby humans and save baby squirrels, they think Cardi B is an artist, they worship big government, and they hate the God of the Bible. Eric Harris, Dylan Klebold, Jared Loughner, James Holmes, Adam Lanza, Nicholas Cruz, Peyton Gendron, Salvador Ramos. You know what all those mass killers had in common? Not one of them. Not one of them knew the God of Scripture. Do you think anybody's ever going to make the connection? 300 Americans are now dying every day in this country from fentanyl overdose. Suicide is now the number one killer of 25 to 35-year-olds in this country. And yet gay activist Billy Eichner says this: all you perverted, hateful Christians, get your blankin' Bibles and your blankin' Christ and your blankin' God out of our lives, because that's the number one thing that's screwing up this country. People, do you honestly believe that the biggest problem in America now is that there's not too much God and too much Christian influence? You've got to be out of your mind. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20. The Lord is your life. So no Lord, no life, no plan, no meaning whatsoever to your life. And I want to tell you this morning, that is an absolute lie straight from the pits of hell. Does anybody know what that is? That is the famous rose window from York Minster Cathedral in York, England. Takes your breath away, what man has made. Now, does anybody know what that is? That is a picture of a cross-cut section of a strand of DNA in every single one of your cells. People, that's what God has made. That's the absolute mind-blowing way that God made you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, you are God's masterpiece, fearfully and wonderfully made by God with an incredible plan for your life to do all kinds of incredible things which God already planned in advance for you to do. God does have a specific plan for your life. Just like God has a specific plan for this country, because that's exactly what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And it was the descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth that repopulated this planet after the Tower of Babel. Genesis chapter 9, verse 27 says God would enlarge the territory of Japheth. And chapter 10, verse 21 says Japheth was the older brother. What's the job of the older brother? To look out for the younger brothers. Anthropologists tell us the descendants of Japheth were the white European people. The descendants of Shem were the Asian people. The descendants of Ham were the black African people. Now get this. The name Japheth in Hebrew literally means beautiful. The first miracle the disciples do in Jerusalem, in the book of Acts, they heal a man's feet at the gate called Beautiful. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Acts chapter 16, when Paul finally takes the gospel to Macedonia, to the land of the Japhethites. His first convert is who? A Japhethite named Lydia. Lydia's name in Greek means beautiful. The gospel finally coming to the descendants of Japheth. And then Paul gets put in prison for 2 years where he prays, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, that rulers and kings and peoples in authority would let Christians spread the gospel without persecution. And then Paul gets executed in that prison 1 year later. But then 1,700 years after that, Paul's prayer finally gets answered when the descendants of Japheth, the white Europeans, come here and enlarge the territory of Japheth big time by starting this country, the United States of America. Japheth means beautiful. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. What is one of the most popular patriotic songs for this country? America, the beautiful. Don't tell me God wasn't behind the founding of this country. And with a constitution and a bill of rights unlike any other nation on the face of the planet, Americans were able to spread the gospel. They had the freedom and the power to spread the gospel all over the world, especially in Asia and Africa. Japheth, the older brother, looking out for his younger brothers, Shem and Ham, and bringing them to the Lord. And the first capital of this country was where? City of Philadelphia. What did God tell the church of Philadelphia? Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, I have set before you an open door that no man can shut if they obey God's commands. The descendants of Japheth, America the beautiful, with the calling and the freedom and the power to spread the gospel all over the world, which is exactly what they did, which is exactly what God tells us in His Word that they would do. One nation under God, you ain't just kidding. But then 2020, the wheels started coming off. Because instead of Japheth taking care of his younger brother Shem, the Asian people, and Ham, the younger people, the black African people, he started a death dance with Shem, with the Asian virus, and with Ham, with Black Lives Matter. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says, two of the marks of the last days will be traitors and accusers who did everything they possibly could to undermine this country. And President Donald Trump, with Russian collusion and fake impeachment to cover up a stolen election. And January 6th, Soviet-style show trials and executive orders and COVID lockdowns and vaccine mandates and payoffs to the big guy so that our Constitution right now is almost not worth the paper it is even written on. Philadelphia was all about America having the freedom and the power to spread the gospel all over the world. 2020, where was the biggest fraud in the election? Philadelphia. Where did Joe Biden go last month to rant and rave against Trump supporters and millions of people in this country? Philadelphia, do you think maybe God is trying to tell us something? And now America's lost that open door for the gospel all over the world because too many Christians are preaching heresy like love is love and gay is okay and can't we just all get along? So the Church of Philadelphia in America now has become the Church of Laodicea. So America, the United States of America, specially created and raised up by God to spread the gospel and shine the light of freedom all over the world, is now this close to being sold out and betrayed and destroyed by its very own leaders. And what do we Americans have to do? We've got to remember who we are and why we're here. Remember the heights from which you have fallen and strengthen that which remains and is about to die because your deeds have not been found complete in the sight of our God. Listen. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The first thing we need to do in order to know God's will for our life, we need to seek the Lord. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do in order to know God's will for our lives. We not only need to seek the Lord, but we also need to trust the Lord. And that's also what Solomon is telling us here in verses 5 and 6. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, which means if you simply pray and ask God what His will is for your life, guess what? He will tell you. And not just His will for your salvation, but verse 6, and for all your ways. Which means God's will for absolutely everything else in your life too, from soup to nuts. He'll tell you. And I know there's some Christians listening to this sermon right now, so scared to death of the Holy Spirit, they're having a cow thinking, Kevin, you can't tell people that God speaks to them because God only speaks to us through the words of the Bible. Okay? Then you tell me, where in the Bible, chapter and verse, does it tell you where you should go to school? Where in the Bible, chapter and verse, does it tell you what job you should have? Or the exact name of the person that you're supposed to marry? Where in the Bible, chapter and verse, does it tell you the name of the church that you should go to? Or whether you should move out of Illinois or stay here and fight to the last man? Is it back here in Deuteronomy somewhere? Of course not. And you know why? Because God not only speaks His Word and gives us His will in here, God also speaks His Word and gives us His will in here. Through that still small voice. That holy nudge. His Spirit testifying to our spirit. The Holy Spirit leading us into all truth. John chapter 16, verse 13. Now, of course, if it's really God speaking to you, what He says will not go contrary to anything in His Word. So if somebody is telling you to dump your husband and run off from that himbo from work, that's obviously not God saying that to you. John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep know My voice, and they will not follow a stranger." God will tell you what His will is for your life. God tells you what His will is for your life for different friends and for other Christians. Hollywood actor Chris Pratt was a bum working at a Bubba Gump shrimp shack on a beach in Hawaii back in 2003 when one day a Christian guy came up to him and told him, God has an incredible plan for your future, and invited him to do a Bible study. And Chris Pratt went to that Bible study and got saved. And now, after movies like Jurassic Park and Guardians of the Galaxy, Chris Pratt's had the opportunity to witness to millions and millions of people. God will tell you His will through circumstances in your life. If it's international mandatory that every commercial airline pilot in the world retire at age 65, if you're 65, obviously God does not want you to fly commercial airplanes anymore. That's very simple. If you can't carry a tune in a bucket with two handles, God is not calling you to be a judge on American Idol. If you can't deal with crumb crunchers all day long, you shouldn't be running a daycare center. I'm already 59 years old. I'm only 5 feet 7 inches tall, and white men can't jump. So obviously God is not calling me to play NBA basketball with the Chicago Bulls. I can check that one off the list. So let me ask you this morning, what are the circumstances in your life that God is using right now to guide you? What is God calling you to do in your life? And notice the biggest key to knowing God's will for your life, into verse 5, lean not on your own understanding, which means push comes to shove, you trust God more than you trust anybody else. Just because all your friends are going to college at U of I doesn't mean you should. Just because your dad and his dad before him worked at ComEd, that doesn't mean you have to. Hollywood actor Harrison Ford has a son who's a chef in New York City. Bruce Springsteen has a son named Sam who's a fireman in New Jersey. My dad had 5 generations of farmers in his family, but it ended with me because even though I love it, that's not what God has called me to do. Country star Tim McGraw was told by music producers in Nashville he would starve to death if he tried to become a professional singer. You're going to trust man? You're going to trust God? And I know there's somebody listening to this sermon right now, sitting right here in these seats. You know exactly what it is that God has called you to do. You're just not doing it. You are kicking against the goats. You say, well, Kevin, here's what I think. Wait, did you hear that? Did you know what that was? That was the sound of God not caring what you think. Because when it comes to your life, the life that God has given you, and all the gifts and talents that God has given you, it doesn't matter what you think. The only thing that matters is what He thinks. Are you trusting God for a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband or a wife? Now, a lot of Christians will tell you, you could marry dozens and dozens of different people and still be in the will of God. I don't believe that. I believe a God who is so personal and so specific that He knows how many hairs are on your head at any given moment has one specific person that He wants you to marry. But how easy it is to justify all the wrong ones. Pastor Kevin, I love him. He puts the stud in Bible study. But Kevin, he goes to church. So what? Even the devil goes to church sometimes. But Kevin, she is so spiritual. So is the Wicked Witch of the West. Listen, if that person is not a Christian, if they're not a believer, that person is not for you. Case closed. Because it is obviously God's will that you not be yoked with unbelievers. You say, Kevin, I don't agree with that. You don't have to agree with it. You just have to obey it. God's will is, bae ain't bae if bae don't pray. Listen, the second most important decision in your entire life, next to your decision to trust Jesus Christ for salvation, is to trust in God to marry the person that He has chosen you to marry. So you're going to trust God? You're just going to jump the bones of the first person that comes along looking hot? Your will or His will be done. And I know there's somebody listening to this sermon right now thinking, Kevin, I blew it. I screwed up God's will. I ruined the plan that God has for my life. Kevin, if only I hadn't married that girl. Kevin, if only we hadn't had a baby back then. If only I had stayed at that job. Listen, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, every day would be Christmas. You can't possibly destroy the plan that God has for your life because you're not that powerful. Because there is no way in the world that you could ever screw up your life to the point that God can't fix it if you surrender it and turn it over to Him. And there ain't nothing that anybody else can do to you either that can destroy the plan that God has for your life. April 27th, 1992, a little black baby boy was born in California to a crack mom who didn't want him and a bio dad who didn't even care enough to know about it. You talk about starting out a loser. Talk about starting out hopeless. His own bio parents rejected him. But then the very next day, he was adopted by a white couple in Linden, California. And they brought him to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They led him to the Lord. And as he grew up, he found out he was this incredible athlete, all these gifts. And he got to be huge, 6'7", 280 pounds. And because of that, he wanted to be a professional football player more than anything else. But God told him different. God told him to be a professional baseball player. So 2017, he allowed himself to be drafted by the New York Yankees. And last Tuesday night, Globe Life Field, Arlington, Texas, that little kid did this.
To come. Aaron Judge and the magical season.
Miles an hour, 100.2 miles an hour off of his bat.
Of course. That little kid, abandoned by his bio parents at birth, rejected by the people who should love him the most, turned out to be Major League Baseball star Aaron Judge. And last Tuesday night, he set the American League record for most home runs in the season and came this close to winning American League Triple Crown. This is what Aaron Judge said. I got to thank God most of all for putting me in this position and getting me where I'm at right now. From being given up at birth and getting a really bad start and then God picking really great parents for me, I went from hopeless to having all the best. For all He's done for me and through me, all glory to God. People, listen to me. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what anybody has done to you. What God proposes, no man can thwart. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 27, which means nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, can ever, ever destroy the plan that God has for your life if you trust Him. You ask God what His will is for your life, He will tell you. One way or the other, He will tell you. And I know that because that is exactly what He did for me, even before I got saved. One Sunday morning, way back in 1972 at my home church in Watseka, my third grade Sunday school teacher, John Callis, asked me, Kevin, have you ever thought about going into the ministry? No, I never thought about going into the ministry. I was only 9 years old at the time. I was only thinking about mini bites in the Chicago Cubs. And even though I thought that guy was crazy, I realize now that was God speaking to me through him. Because I never forgot what he told me. And as I was growing up, everything else I ever wanted to do always fizzled out. I wanted to be a cowboy till I realized I was afraid of horses. Then I wanted to be a doctor till I realized that the sight of blood freaked me out. My high school guidance counselor told me I should be a printer. One of my college professors told me that I should be a journalist. My mom wanted me to be a Spanish teacher. Talk about not having a clue about God's will for your life. But then July 21st, 1984, while watching Jimmy Swaggart give an altar call on TV, the Spirit of God spoke to me for the first time in my life I could hear and said, Kevin, it's now or never. So I prayed to receive Christ, and I got saved. 2 weeks after that, I was sitting in my home church in Watsika during a Sunday morning church service. The Spirit of God spoke to me again and said, Kevin, you're not doing anything for me. So I started praying and asking God, God, what do you want me to do? Just like that, I was teaching a junior high Sunday school class. I was helping to lead a Bible study in a youth group with a woman in my church named Susan Husted. And I was doing jail ministry at Iroquois County Jail on Sunday afternoon. You ask God to give you a job, He'll do it. Then February 1989, I was at a Watsika High School basketball game in Fairbury, Illinois. And what do you know, I saw a guy there that I'd gone to high school with, hadn't seen for 10 years because his family moved to Texas his sophomore year. And he was a Christian. And he asked me, he said, Kevin, what are you going to do in the future? I said, I had no idea. I've been praying, but God hasn't shown me anything. That guy had a catalog for Trinity Evangelical Divinity School with him. A seminary, E-Free Seminary up in Deerfield, Illinois. At a basketball game in Fairbury. What are the odds of that? And I looked at that catalog and I went and visited the school and I knew immediately from the Holy Spirit, He was calling me to go to seminary and to go into ministry. And folks, I got to tell you, being a pastor is absolutely the last thing in the world that I ever wanted to do. You talk about getting dragged, kicking and screaming into something. I am not in ministry because I love it. I'm in ministry because I love Jesus and because He told me to do it. So for the next 3 years, I went to seminary at Trinity. But I also wanted a girlfriend. And ever since I was in kindergarten, I've been in love with all kinds of girls, but most of them looked at me like I was a hare in their soup. In fact, a couple of them that I really had the hots for were totally messed up. One of them even eventually got arrested for criminal fraud. Another one eventually got arrested for grand larceny. So I could really pick them. But that all changed when I stopped praying, God, get me the girl that I want for me. And I started praying, God, give me the girl that You want for me. 2 weeks after I started praying that prayer, there was Sue. Now, we go to the same church. We'd done some ministry together. We went out for our very first date, and it was an absolute disaster. So bad, Sue told one of her friends, if anything ever comes out of this, it'll be a miracle. Then 1 month after that really bad date, I'm driving into Watsika to do jail ministry on a Sunday afternoon. I drive by Sue's parents' house. She's out mowing their grass. And I look over in the yard. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, that's the woman you're going to marry. And that was great. But the problem is it took 4 more years to convince Sue of that. God speaking to me over and over and over again, one way or the other, and me hearing His voice. We got married in August of 1993. We candidated to this church just 2 months later, October of 1993. January of 1994, this church sent me a call letter and gave me till January 31st to respond. And I prayed about it and prayed about it. God said absolutely nothing. And I was glad because I absolutely did not want to come to this church. Little church out there in the country had a pulpit stuck up on the wall. I have never used a pulpit in my entire life. So I never responded. Finally, the morning of February the 1st, the chairman of the call committee called me and said, Kevin, we need an answer. And I still had no idea what I was supposed to do. But then the Spirit of God spoke to me again and said, don't miss out. So we moved here. And the last 29 years, I've had all kinds of opportunities to go to all kinds of other churches. But when I pray about it, God always tells me exactly the same thing. I thought we covered this already. So I've learned over the years, God doesn't speak to you for a while about something. You just keep doing the last thing He told you to do, which in my case was to come here and stay here. And people ask me all the time, Kevin, when are you going to leave Fox River? It's very simple. When God tells me to leave here, just as clearly as He told me to come here, it's time to go. And that time will come. Either that or we'll leave when this congregation fires me, one of the two. And I know somebody's saying, well, Kevin, how can you think you can just hear from God? How can God speak and you just hear Him like that? I'll tell you why. Because God is real, people. He's more real to me than you are. And I can see you. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. You've got no idea what God's will is for your life. Or you've got no idea what God's will is for your life at this point in your life. And I've got to tell you, I know exactly what that's like. But I am also living, breathing proof that when you trust God and pray and ask Him, one way or the other, He will tell you every single thing you need to do in order to follow Him and be in His will. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, if you trust Him. The second thing we need to do to know God's will for our life, we need to trust the Lord. We go on in this text, we see a third thing we need to do in order to know God's will for our life. We not only need to seek the Lord, we not only need to trust the Lord, but third, we need to follow the Lord. And that's also what Solomon's telling us here in verses 5 and 6. And especially these days when our beautiful country is going to hell in a handbasket. Christians, we've got to follow the Lord and share the gospel and call people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ as many as we can, as fast as we can, before it's too late. You know what J.B. Pritzker's approval rating is in Illinois right now? 50%. Which means half the people in the state would vote for him again. The walking dead living on free money. But you know why people don't vote right? They don't vote right because they don't think right. And the reason they don't think right is because they don't have Christ. Amen. We're all praying and working and hoping for a big red wave this coming November. And we certainly need to be telling people the truth about all kinds of issues. But folks, the biggest problem is not just with people's heads. The biggest problem is with people's hearts. And the only thing that can change somebody's heart is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christians, in order to make America great again, we first of all have to make America born again. And just so everybody knows, of course, it's more important to save people than it is to save the country. But my question is, why can't we do both? But my God, people, what is it going to take to get Christians up off their blessed assurance and do something and follow the Lord? How much more ungodly does this country have to get? 3 weeks ago, the CDC finally admitted what we realized all along. They lied about the vaccines being safe. And now thousands and thousands of perfectly healthy people are dropping like flies all over the world because of something they call sudden adult death syndrome. Fauci lied, people died. We're talking mass murder, folks, and now the CDC wants you to line up like sheep to the slaughter and get another vaccine. Are you kidding me? The left is absolutely hell-bent on turning your kids into RuPaul drag queens. Listen, purposely confusing children about their gender and then letting Dr. Frankenstein's carve them up like a Christmas ham is evil. There's no such thing as transgender people, folks, and they claim it's us Christians who aren't following the science. But who's going to speak up about it? Evil is telling you to shut up, Christians. What are you going to do about it? 10 years ago, back in 2012, Christian baker Jack Phillips, Masterpiece Cake Shop, Lakeland, Colorado, got sued by the Colorado Civil Rights Commission for refusing to make a wedding cake for a gay couple. Then finally, 5 years later, in 2017, the Supreme Court finally ruled that the Civil Rights Commission had violated Jack Phillips' constitutional rights. Praise God. But then less than 3 weeks after that, a man who pretends to be a woman filed another lawsuit against Jack Phillips because he wouldn't make a cake to celebrate his so-called transition. And that case is still winding through the courts. 67 bakeries in the greater Denver area, including one right across the street from Masterpiece, and every single one of them would bake a cake for the devil himself. You don't think Jack Phillips is being singled out? And why? Because if you disagree with the left in any way, shape, or form, and you don't drink every single drop of the rainbow Kool-Aid, they will do everything they absolutely possibly can to destroy you and make your life a living hell. Jack Phillips never discriminated against anybody. And he serves every kind of customer there is. He has friends who are trans, who even testified at his trial on his behalf. But he will not make a cake that celebrates anything that God's Word condemns. And it's cost him big time. It's cost him death threats. Threats to his family. His store has been boycotted. He's had to stop making wedding cakes altogether. That cost him 60% of his total business. He's had to lay off half of his employees. And yet this is what Jack Phillips says. Cakes to celebrate being gay and trans, those are cakes I can't make and won't make. Because the Bible says God created male and female and created them only for each other. And nobody gets to change that. For me, that settles it. And I will continue to take a stand on the truth of God's Word, and I don't care what it costs me. Christians, what is God's will for our lives in these last days? For crying out loud, grow a spine, put on your big boy and your big girl pants, and take a stand for the truth of God's Word. We've got to follow the Lord. Christians, we've got to follow the Lord because right now we are witnessing the Marxist totalitarian takeover of this country right in front of our very eyes. Fake President Joe Biden, bought and sold by the Chinese Communist Party, purposely destroying our economy, purposely destroying the energy industry, weakening the military, purposely destroying biblical marriage and family with LGBTQ, letting 5 million illegal aliens flood into this country in just the last 2 years. Do you see the sign? No border, no wall, no USA at all. Did you know the Chinese Communist Party is now operating their own police stations in New York City? See how we're building back better? We got to follow the Lord because the civil war has already started between left and right. Last month in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, Joe Biden said half the people in this country, 75 million voters, are racist and fascist and enemies of the state. Remember when Joe Biden said he was going to unify the nation? Last month, an Ohio Democrat named Tim Ryan said we have to confront and kill MAGA wherever we find it. So last Sunday night, September the 18th, Grand Forks, North Dakota, a 41-year-old lefty named Shannon Brandt decided he'd do exactly that. Because after arguing with 18-year-old Kayler Ellington, who's a Trump supporter, Shannon Brandt took his car and purposely hit him and ran over him and killed him. Vehicular homicide. But don't worry. 2 days later, they let that guy out of jail. And you know why? Because everybody knows it's only Trump supporters that are dangerous. Over 70 Christian pro-life centers and dozens of Christian churches have been torched and firebombed in this country ever since the overturn of Roe v. Wade. And to this day, not one single person has been arrested for doing it. And you know why? Because the DOJ is too busy going through Melania Trump's underwear drawer and arresting parents for speaking up at school board meetings as domestic terrorists. Anything that hurts America is good and progressive. Anything that helps America is extremist and a threat to our democracy. Christians, whether you like it or not, we are at war. And don't look now, but here comes another vaccine. An mRNA vaccine. COVID shot, flu shot combined. Even though the CDC admits the COVID vaccine does not stop anybody from getting COVID. Even though Scandinavia has already outlawed all COVID vaccines for everybody under the age of 50. Even though the UK has outlawed every vaccine for children 10 years old and younger. America, it's full steam ahead. And why would the U.S. government keep pushing a vaccine that has zero benefit but not zero risk? I'll tell you why. Because that government COVID injection is just grooming you and conditioning you for the ultimate government injection. That's going to make that happen. Last Saturday, October the 1st, Elon Musk hosted Tesla's Artificial Intelligence 2022 Day, where he demonstrated a fully functioning robot called Optimus that operates on artificial intelligence. So folks, AI bots are already here. And what's even scarier, they just don't want artificial intelligence out there. They want that artificial intelligence in here. Because Big Brother wants to turn you into one of those things too. Fourth Industrial Revolution, Klaus Schwab calls it. First they put you in front of the internet. Then with Google Watch they put the internet on you. Now they want to put the internet in you. Elon Musk, who already has a company called Neuralink that is already manufacturing digital IV microchips that are going to be implanted in your brain, said this. Artificial intelligence is already taking over, so it's already too late to prevent man from becoming a cyborg. And you know why that's true? Because that is exactly what the Bible says is going to happen in the future. Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17 says, in the last days, during the great tribulation, the Antichrist will force everybody in the whole wide world to receive a mark, the mark of the beast, and either their right hand or their forehead. And we've said many, many times that mark of the beast is a digital ID microchip that will contain all your personal information, your medical information, and your financial information. So you won't be able to buy or sell anything or participate in society without it. You won't be able to live unless you take the mark and toe the devil's line. Now, implanting things in people's bodies to try to control them is nothing new. Because back in the 1970s, when a man named Carl Sanders was working for the Defense Department and the CIA, he was already developing RFID chips that were implanted in the brains of sexual offenders, child molesters, to try to change their behavior. Microchips that were small enough to be injected into people's bodies with a hypodermic needle. And he was all a part of a massive PR campaign, too, to try to get everybody microchipped. Remember that nationwide campaign years ago? They put the pictures of supposedly missing children on the side of milk cartons. Carl Sanders said that was a CIA operation called Evergreen. And it wasn't about finding missing children because all the children on those milk cartons weren't missing at all. They were computer-generated pictures. It was all a scare tactic to get parents to microchip their kids, to have everybody get microchipped in order to keep them safe. Sound familiar? See, as Carl Sanders did his research, he started comparing what he was doing to what the Bible says about the mark of the beast. And he got so convicted, he prayed to receive Christ and got saved. And before he died in 2016, he traveled all over the world and preached to anybody who would listen. Do not let the government inject anything inside your body because those digital ID microchips are going to be the mark of the beast. And how do we know that? Because that's what the book of Revelation tells us. The Greek word for mark in Revelation 13, 16 to 17 is charisma. And it literally means a mark like a badge that shows possession or ownership. Just like the Bible says, you get the mark of the beast as a sign that you belong to the beast. And when you look at the number 666, not the number, but the word for six, you get the Greek word stigma, which literally means to stick or to prick something into something else with a very sharp object. So it's inside of someone. So again, the mark is not something on people, it's something in people. But in John's day, there was nothing that anybody put under their skin to identify it. They had brands on their skin, but nothing on their skin, because 2,000 years ago, there was no way to identify or to detect anything under the skin, or to scan it. But guess what? Today there's digital ID microchips, as small as a grain of rice, that can be implanted underneath the skin and scanned and monitored by any outside handheld device or by the World Wide Web it's connected to. So the word charisma and stigma, what John's describing here in Revelation 13, 16, and 17, in 2,000-year-old language, is a digital ID injected into people's bodies with a hypodermic needle. Artificial intelligence implanted inside of people, just exactly like the Bible says. And how do we know that? Researchers say, for optimum effect, those digital ID microchips have to be placed in the parts of your body where body temperature fluctuates the most. What are those parts of your body where body temperature fluctuates the most? Any mom can tell you because they check it on their kids all the time. It's the right hand or the forehead. Where does Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17 say the mark of the beast is going to be placed in people's bodies? On the right hand or the forehead? Bingo. Those digital ID microchips are also going to contain a little bit of lithium to keep them constantly charged up. What does lithium do to human skin? It irritates it and causes a sore. What does Revelation chapter 16 say is going to be one of God's judgments on all the people who get the mark of the beast? Revelation chapter 16, verse 2, everyone who takes the mark and worships the image of the beast will have what? All over their body? Sores. Bingo again. The Greek word for forehead is metaphon. Mark Zuckerberg's new name for Facebook is Meta, metaverse. The metaverse goggles, right next to the mark of the beast, right there on the forehead. Do we see how it all goes together? The mark of the beast, the digital ID microchip, the artificial intelligence injected into your body so that they can control everything that you do and everything that you think. It's not science fiction, folks. It's here. It's not just coming, it's already here. Everything that the Antichrist is ever going to need, all the technology is ever going to need to rule the world and control every single person in it is already here and in place. And thousands of clueless people right now are lining up from sea to shining sea to have those digital ID microchips implanted in their bodies just exactly like the Bible said they would. And just like that, when the beast shows up and pushes the right buttons and activates the system, those digital ID microchips will be the mark of the beast for real. And the question is this morning, what in the world are you going to do to get out of that? Because if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, if you never trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, that means you're going to miss the rapture and you're going to get stuck down here on this earth and you're going to go into the great tribulation. And if you don't get the mark of the beast, you're not going to be able to live. If you don't get the mark of the beast, the Antichrist is going to kill you. But see, if you do get the mark of the beast, then you go to hell and suffer forever. Because there is no forgiveness. There is no salvation. There is no rest day or night for those who take the mark of the beast and worship his image. Revelation chapter 14 verses 9 through 11. But here's the good news. Elon Musk is wrong. There is a way out of becoming a cyborg. There is a way out of this world. Before the beast even shows up, you can receive Christ as your Savior, which means you can be raptured out of this world before the trouble even starts. And guess what? You can do that today. You can do it right now. Everyone in this room this morning, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Heads bowed, eyes closed. There's two different kinds of people in this church right now. Some of you here this morning, you're not Christians. You're not saved. You never prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart. And I can tell you for an absolute fact, the number one will for God's life, the number one thing that God wants in your life and for your life, He wants you to get saved. You're separated from God. You're not lost. You're going to hell. And right now, the Holy Spirit is telling you that. Today, if you're being convicted, after the service is over, you need to get up out of your seat. You need to come to the front of this church and pray with somebody and give your life to Jesus Christ while you can still get out of this world. Other people sitting in this church right now, you are Christians. You are believers. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and please keep it as quiet in here as possible. No distractions. You do not have to get up. Do not get out of your seat. Because we're just going to take a few moments here and take God at His word. And trust Him that when we listen, He's going to speak. What is God telling you right now about your life? When is the last time you got quiet before God? You're doing it right now. What is God telling you right now about His plan and His will for your life? And that still small voice. You will hear a voice saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." What is that voice telling you right now? Maybe it's something about your job. Maybe it's something about your family or your marriage or your kids or your parents. Maybe God is calling you to make a major change right now in your life. Maybe it's moving to another state. My sheep know my voice. What is He saying to you right now? There's somebody sitting here. You have been praying to God about something for years and years. You've never gotten an answer. Today you're getting that answer. Today God is telling you. There's people here right now. Your children are gone. They're raised. Your grandchildren to move to another state. You're retired right now. What is God telling you to do now at this stage, at this point in your life? There's some Christians here this morning. You think you've sinned against God and you're forever disqualified from ever serving God again. That's not the Lord telling you that. That's the devil telling you that. God is telling you He still has a plan for your life and that plan is still in effect. What is He telling you to do right now? In the light of the days that we're living in, the last times, when time is short, knowing what we Christian conservatives in America are up against, what is God telling you to do right now? What is His will? What is His plan for your life right now at this point in history? What is He calling you to do for this country? What is He calling you to do for the kingdom? And to bring people to Christ. Lord, we come to You today fully trusting in Your promise that when You speak, Lord, You will allow us one way or the other to hear what You are saying. And right now, Lord, we just ask that You would speak to us. We just thank You, Lord, for that familiarity with the Holy Spirit, that when You do speak, we do recognize Your voice. Lord, there are many, many of us here seeking Your direction, seeking guidance, crying out to You right now. God, would You reveal Yourself through Your Word, spoken in our hearts and in our minds by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Give us that holy nudge. Lives depend on it. Eternities depend on it. I pray for somebody here who does not know you as their Savior. They would make that decision. Come forward today and pray to receive Christ. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.